Hello and welcome to another edition of the Duct Tape Marketing Podcast. This is your host, John Jantz, and my guest today is David Merriman Scott. I'd have to go back and look in the annals of the Duct Tape Marketing Podcast, but this is at least three, maybe four times for David. He is a, as many of you know already, marketing strategist, speaker, seminar leader, and author of seven books published in more than 30 languages, including what I suspect for a lot of people is required reading, The New Rules of Marketing and PR. And it's such required reading that his publisher has made him come up with a third edition of that book in about 5 years. And so we're going to talk about what's new in The New Rules of Marketing and PR. So, David, thanks for joining me.
Hey, John. It's awesome to be with you, as always. I value your friendship. I think it is the fourth time.
I think that's right.
Yeah, amazing.
It's amazing. Amazing.
We've both come a long way.
I was just going to say it's amazing that I've stuck around this long, but you've definitely come a long way. So edition two was, say, 2 years ago. So let's start there. What's changed in the last 2 years that you know, I'm actually putting out a revised edition of Duct Tape Marketing this fall. And the question I'm already getting is, you know, I already own version one. Should,
right.
You know, why would I spend another $12? Which, of course, is an absurd question. But anyway,
right.
You know, but let's answer it anyway. What's in version three that's going to excite people?
Well, there's a couple of things. The first thing I do is I go through every single word, every single link in the book, and I cycle out stories that aren't as interesting anymore 2 years later,
right,
and put in a bunch of new examples of success, you know, companies that have been successful using the new rules. That's the first thing I do. What's so interesting about the idea of the new rules of marketing PR, which is, you know, simply that marketing is about publishing content online, is that there's constantly new tools for us. So I remember I wrote the very first edition of the New Rules of Marketing and PR way back in 2006, and the book actually came out in 2007. And as I was writing the book, Facebook was only for students. I don't know if you remember
back then.
You know, we non-students or people who didn't have a .edu email address couldn't get onto Facebook as I was writing the New Rules of Marketing and PR. And at the same time, Twitter had just been launched in 2006.
Right.
And at that point, no one had ever heard of it. So my book comes out. In the meantime, Facebook is available to everyone. Twitter launches and begins to grow in popularity. And I got these emails from people. Hey, David, have you ever heard of this service called Twitter? And it was so infuriating because it's like, yes, I have. And I've been using it for 6 months, but because of the ways that books are published, I couldn't get that included. So that happened with previous editions. We got Twitter, we got Facebook. And for this round, the new tools that came out, a lot of them were focused on mobile marketing.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole huge rise of mobile, of iPads and iPhones,
right,
and Androids and all these other services, particularly that have applications that in many of them are GPS enabled. So that great example would be Foursquare. And so those applications were not popular at all when I was writing the second edition, and then immediately took off. And there was a huge hole in the book, frankly, because I didn't cover mobile marketing.
Yeah.
The idea that, particularly with small businesses that are location dependent, I'm thinking, for example, theaters, mm-hmm, or restaurants or hairdressers,
sure,
or you know, all those sorts of things.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really important to have a mobile marketing strategy because somebody walking down the street in the city decides all of a sudden they want to go to have something to eat. You need to pop up when they fire up their GPS related services like Foursquare. So anyway, I spent an entire chapter on mobile marketing. And then the other major thing that's changed is my latest obsession, as you well know, is the concept of real-time marketing and PR. I did a book on that topic, and which came out in November 2011. But I put a full chapter in the new Rules of Marketing and PR, the third edition, which covers the concept of instant, the concept of real time, which is basically the idea that so many marketers and so many entrepreneurs and business owners have focused on a campaign mentality for their marketing, planning things months and quarters ahead,
right.
Which is fine. There's nothing wrong with planning ahead. I do it too, but it foregoes sometimes the opportunities that pop up instantly. You know, what happens when something breaks in the news related to your industry? Are you able to take advantage of it instantly? What happens if there's a regulatory change in your industry? Or what happens if a customer complains to you today on a blog? What do you do about it? So it's a whole idea of instant engagement.
Yeah, and I think that, in fact, one of the things that I know you talk about, I've certainly seen over the last couple of years, you know, we were so focused on talking about social media as, you know, as a set of tools. And,
yes.
And I think that, you know, now we can talk about them more as a set of rules, right? I mean, that it's, that
yeah,
it's,
yeah, yeah.
It's,
exactly.
It's sort of baked in. It just is. And so the idea that we're still having that mentality of do I pick this tool or that tool, I think
right.
is probably the wrong question, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is, and it actually took me a while to figure that out. But yeah, it is. It's not about, geez, do I start a blog or do I start a video channel? It's more around you've got to engage instantly with the marketplace, and you've got to engage in the platforms and the tools that your potential customers are engaged with. So if you're, for example, in a business-to-business environment, you know, LinkedIn is very important. But if you're selling to young people, LinkedIn is a desert. You don't want to be there. You know, you probably want to be thinking about how you can engage with Facebook.
Or you might want to be there, but as sort of like, you know, one of the last things on your list, right? I mean, because a lot of times it's about priority, you know, particularly for small businesses.
Exactly. We only have so many, one of so many hours
today. Yeah.
But what's so interesting to me about all this, John, and I know you'd appreciate this, is I've updated this book now, although this is the third edition, I actually did a paperback edition. So it's actually the fourth edition of this book. And what has not changed at all are what the basic rules are. I mean, the basic rules of this new environment that we all have, this revolution that we're all going through, is that, you know, before you had only a couple of options to get noticed. You could buy expensive advertising, or you could try to convince the media to write about you or broadcast about you, or you could spend a lot of money on a direct sales force. None of those things aren't going away, but the new rule is that now we've got a fourth option, and it's a great option. It's an option that's free, and that option is to create amazing content on the web, whether it's video content or text-based or photographic content or charts or graphs, ebooks, white papers, all that sort of thing. And that brands your organization as one that's worthy of doing business with. So the fundamental aspect of what I wrote about, and I know that you write about as well and talk about, has not changed.
So I know that you have historically been a little hard over the last few years on the sort of traditional PR mentality that is housed mainly in PR firms, right?
Right.
Let me ask you this sort of two questions. Do we as business owners no longer need to engage PR firms? Is half the question. And then the second question, if I'm out there and I'm a PR firm, you know, what do I do to change my mindset and behavior?
Good question. So basically what's changed is that prior to having the option to use these new rules, the way that you got ink in the media was, and you could hire a firm or do it yourself, but you had to write press releases and then pitch them to members of the media, magazines, radio, television, newspaper reporters, to try to get them interested in what your company does and what your products and services do. And that was a process of just trying to get in front of people. And in many ways, that turned into almost a spam-like activity, where you would take your press release and send it typically through email. In the early days, it was fax, but more recently.
Right.
And you try to send it to, you know, 200 reporters and hope that one or two might want to write about you. What's changed is that Now we can create the content ourselves. And that's just a huge fundamental shift in the way to reach people. I mean, before you had to either buy advertising, in other words, I'm going to buy space in the newspaper or the magazine, or I'm going to try to convince those reporters or editors to write about me.
Or you bought access, right? Because, I mean, a lot of PR firms certainly lived on the fact that they had lunch with the editor at that paper.
Exactly, and that's a part of hiring an agency is they have those relationships. We used to say they have a great Rolodex. I don't think young people know what a Rolodex is anymore. the idea of creating a presence for yourself on the web and having people find you through search engines and having people link to you on their Facebook page or on their Twitter feed now does not require that the media write about you. And what's more interesting and I think fascinating is that if you do create interesting information on the web, you are doing blog posts or whatever, many times the media will find that and use that as fodder for the stories that they're writing and broadcasting. So, you know, to circle back to your question, I think there's still room for traditional media relations, but I think that it needs to be within a context of creating original content. I think the days have long passed where a company doesn't create their own individual content and instead relies on the media to create that content for them. Those days are past because we all have the capability of generating our own information. Now, where a lot of people fall down on this, and it's totally understandable, is they say, well, look, I don't have the skills. I'm not a good writer, or, you know, I've never done a video before. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a business owner. How am I supposed to all of a sudden do what you tell me and create all this wonderful content? I totally get that. But what that means is you need to think about who is the right person to hire. And I don't believe that a traditional public relations agency is the right organization to hire in order to help you to create original content to put onto your website or to make a blog for you. The reason is because they're skilled at getting other people to write. They're not skilled at creating that content themselves. I actually think the right people are journalists, professional journalists, people who used to work at a magazine, radio, television, newspaper, and who you can bring on full-time, part-time, hourly basis, freelance, whatever, to help you to create that content. And a lot of companies are doing that. There's lots of organizations who have hired journalists onto their staff, either full or part-time.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that the idea that this content creation makes you maybe more aligned as a, you know, with a publishing model than a traditional marketing model probably certainly makes that idea make sense.
Absolutely,
journalists that are writing content that is valuable, that is, you know, most any journalist that's worth their salt can take the facts and turn it into a 700-word article in about 45 minutes because that's what they've been trained to do.
That's what they do. And I like to think of it as storytelling. You know, a journalist is very, very good at telling a story. Yeah. And that's really what you want.
Yep.
You want your website to tell a story to your potential customers. And by the way, a story is not just talking about your products and services.
Right.
A story is providing valuable information that helps people to solve a problem so that they're eager to figure out what you do and want to work with you. And again, journalists are great for that. Now, so it is really fascinating, your question about what happens to PR agencies. I think there will always be room for traditional media relations agencies. There'll always be room for people who have a wide variety of contacts in the media and who are good at working with reporters and editors to get stories in the press and who are skilled at creating a traditional press release. But I would suggest that it's a rare small business that needs those skills today.
Yeah.
And so that means, although the traditional public relations agencies aren't going away, I think that the numbers of them and the opportunities for them will shrink over time. But for any people who have worked in that industry, if they can turn their agency into a content creation agency rather than just a media pitching agency, I think they have a powerful future ahead. And I would literally say the same thing to them. They ought to hire journalists onto their staff and provide services to clients where they're actually helping to create content for them.
Yeah, and I think that a number of PR firms woke up when they saw sort of the handwriting on the wall of all the social media tools and you know ways that organizations, large and small, were adopting that smart ones really kind of I think jumped into what you said there and became sort of content creators as opposed to content pitchers.
Exactly. So, and some of them are doing a great job.
Yeah, they are. And I mean, like you, I get approached by PR firms frequently, and it's pretty easy to see the ones that have moved into that realm.
Right.
So let's talk specifically a little bit about the mobile, because I think what we're talking about is just adapting our marketing to a behavior that is here. It's not necessarily a new tool. It's the fact that all of our customers are walking around with that phone in their pocket, and when they pick it up and look for something, they have ginormous — that's one of my kids' words, favorite words — a ginormous amount of intent. And I think that's the part that people really need to understand. Because unfortunately, a lot of small businesses, when I talk about mobile, they say, oh, I'm not going to do that spammy, text message.
Yeah.
So how do you get them beyond that, that's what it is?
Right. Well, obviously there's a number of different things that you can do with mobile. The first thing and the simplest thing, and surprisingly few people actually pay any attention to this, is that your website needs to be mobile friendly.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm not going to go into any real specifics here, but the basic idea is that when you visit a website on your computer, your website gets loaded in a way that's friendly for a computer. But when you visit the same website on a mobile device, like an iPhone, for example, it looks for content that's made friendly for an iPhone, a mobile device.
Yeah.
And so the simplest thing you can do is to create pages that are friendly to mobile devices. The other thing to do is to create a Google search index on your website so that when people are searching for what you have to offer with their mobile phone — so for example, they just popped a tire on the road, and oh shoot, I got to find somewhere to swap out this tire today because I got to go to a concert tonight. Where am I going to get my car towed to? They're on their mobile phone looking for that. Okay, Tire Repair Houston. How am I going to find this? If you have a mobile friendly site and a mobile friendly site that you have the index of your pages that are friendly for mobile search, you will pop up first. It's incredible, because that's what Google will show. They'll say this site is more appropriate because it's friendly to a mobile device, and all of a sudden they're going to your tire store rather than somebody else's. That's the first thing. The second thing is the whole GPS capability, where when somebody's using a mobile device, that device, that person who's doing the searching, can be pinpointed anywhere in the world where they are. It's amazing.
Right.
And there's all sorts of things that pop up there, things like offering special coupons. Walk in right now and we'll give you a free margarita with your Mexican meal. And those for many people are not seen as spammy. They're seen as, hey, that's pretty cool. We got a choice of going to the steakhouse that doesn't even know we're here, or the Mexican joint that knows we're here because they've got a GPS-enabled service that recognizes that I'm standing across the street figuring out which restaurant I want to go to. So just some simple stuff. It's particularly important for any business that has local physical locations that you want people to go to.
Yeah, and I often tell people, because you start talking about a mobile friendly version, and people they're you know, they're thinking, oh man, whole lot of money. I've got to, you know, it's hard enough getting my website done, period. But there actually are WordPress plugins, you know, that'll do this for you. I mean, if you're on a WordPress blog, and there are services that actually create these. And I think that it's become so important that you can't let that be a barrier, because the tools are there to make it happen right away.
I think you have to do it. Yeah. And, you know, do what I do. I mean, I'm the guy who wrote the book, but I still hired someone to do it for me.
Yeah, that's
you
right.
know, sure. there's certain things that, you know, I don't do myself, and figuring out how to optimize my web stuff for mobile is certainly not something that I feel I have the skills to do myself. So, and it doesn't have to, like you said, it doesn't have to cost a lot of money, but it's certainly something that should be thought about and should be done.
So, we're running out of time, David. We're talking to David.
Always so fast. We run out of time.
The new rules of marketing and PR, but I really want to end with the most important question. What's your summer concert plan look like?
I saw Bob Dylan last night.
Nice.
I had never seen Dylan before.
No, I've seen him three times, and it was like seeing three different people.
Well, people had always said that to me, that you know, you never know what you're in for when you see Bob Dylan. I was really lucky, John, because it was the last stop on his tour last night. And for some reason, he decided to throw in this last date on a whim at the very last minute. So 2 weeks ago, they announced it. And it was in a club.
Wow.
It was a House of Blues in Boston. And it was fantastic because I'd never seen him before. He seemed to be on. People around me who had seen him many times before were happy that he was, seemed to be on and having fun. I loved the music. His voice is a little iffy, as we all know.
Yeah.
I love him. And I've gone to a couple of shows with my daughter. My daughter is 18 years old, and we went to see some of her favorite bands.
We're seeing Jason Mraz or something like that?
No, we saw Beirut.
Oh, okay.
We saw Yesayer. She's going, and I'm not, to see Patrick Wolf, which is her favorite artist, I think. Always good. Summer concerts are good. How about you?
Well, Farm Aid was in Kansas City this year, and so I got to see Willie and Neil Young and John Mellencamp and Dave Matthews all in a span.
Great.
A couple of weeks.
Was that one day or
yeah. One day, nice. One of those kind of stadium things. That's I don't know if you're familiar with Farm Aid, but you know, it's
I am very much so. I've never been to one.
20 or 30 years, and they go to different city every year, and pretty cool event. Obviously, very very pro local, support the local farmer, and so it was.
And
it was like a political.
And Neil Young
content.
Have been involved since the beginning.
And I think John Mellencamp too, very early on.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. So
terrific.
Well, David, always great to catch up with you.
Thanks, John.
See you out there on the road again, or in Boston sometime soon. Appreciate
it. Absolutely, I hope so.
All right, take care.